Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Latif et al. Titled, Bombesin-like Receptor 3 Regulates Blood Pressure and Heart Rate via a Central Sympathetic Mechanism. This article published online January 22, 2016. Joining me today are Associate Editor Deborah Diz, Lead Author Mark Reitman, and Content Expert Amy Arnold. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara, and thanks to Amy and Mark for joining us today for this discussion of a recent manuscript that increases our understanding of the contributions of the bombesin-like receptor 3 to blood pressure regulation. I'd like to congratulate Dr. Reitman on his study. And Mark, would you please tell us briefly about the novelty of your recent study?
Sure, it's my pleasure. Thank you. So bombesin-like receptor 3, or BRS3, is an orphan GPCR, so we really don't know a lot about its physiology. And what we have done here is used a combination of genetic tools, the BRS3 knockout mouse, and pharmacologic tools, a selective BRS3 agonist, to explore the effect on blood pressure. Very briefly, the BRS3 knockout mouse has a reduced resting heart rate, but it increases to the same heart rate as a wild-type control with physical activity, and it has a normal or the same resting blood pressure as a wild-type control, but with physical activity, the blood pressure actually overshoots where the wild-type control goes. We think this is due to a reduction in sympathetic tone to heart rate with a normal ability to regulate blood pressure, for example, with an intact baroreflex sensitivity and with an intact increase in heart rate and blood pressure with physical activity. Consistent with this data, treatment with a selective BRS3 agonist, we used something called MK5046, which is a nanomolar and very specific selective compound, to show that BRS3 agonist increases blood pressure and heart rate in wild-type mice, but not in control mice. And some of the data consistent with this being a central sympathetic mechanism is that the increase in heart rate caused by the agonist is blocked by the central sympatholytic clonidine. One other thing to point out is that it's been very difficult to study this since we don't know the natural ligand of this orphan GPCR, that it's been difficult to understand what is physiology. And by combining a drug with a knockout, we've actually been, I think, very carefully shown that the effects we're talking about indeed are mechanism-based, i.e. due to effects on BRS3 of the drug.
Yes, thank you. Amy, would you like to share your comments now about the importance of this study?
Yes, thanks, Mark, for that great summary. One of the really interesting things about this study is that BRS3 has really emerged recently as a potential target for the treatment of obesity. There's been studies showing that BRS3 agonists can improve metabolic rate and lead to reductions in weight loss. But there's really limited and contradictory studies for the importance of BRS3 to blood pressure regulation, and there's no information on its effects on cardiovascular autonomic regulation. So I think this study really furthers those deficiencies in the literature right now, and as well as providing caution to the emerging literature showing that pharmacologic targeting of pathways involved in regulation metabolism can often have these undesirable cardiovascular consequences, including increases in blood pressure and sympathetic activation.
Yes, I think it's actually kind of interesting that of four mechanisms that we know about, the leptin pathway, the melanocortin pathway, ghrelin, and BRS3, in each case where you can pharmacologically treat in the direction that would reduce the obesity, i.e. the beneficial direction, you actually end up with an increase in blood pressure and or heart rate, suggesting that this may be a tight physiologic link that we're going to need to think about when we approach with physiologic treatments.
So, Amy, do you have specific questions for Mark about his study?
Of course I do. So, first, I was wondering if you could fill us in on any effects that have been observed of BRS3 agonists in clinical studies, and kind of what is the status of BRS3 agonists for clinical development?
Sure, that's a great question. So interest in BRS3 started with a Nature paper from Wada's group in 1997, and that led scientists at Merck to develop the compounds that I used, and I actually am a former Merck employee, and so I got these compounds from Merck. Merck did take MK-5046 into the clinic, did one study, a single ascending dose study, and in that study it was found that there was an increase in blood pressure with this compound. And because the treatment of obesity is really not aimed at a cosmetic improvement in body image, but rather a reduction in medical comorbidity, the fact that a potential obesity treatment actually increased blood pressure, even if we believe that it might be transient and may attenuate with continued therapy, that was considered a negative, at least a relative and maybe an absolute negative. And so that caused Merck to drop MK-5046 as a compound of interest for the treatment of obesity.
That's interesting. The compound used in your study, MK-5046, was a centrally acting agonist. Do you think that the blood pressure effects could be prevented with a non-centrally acting agonist? And if so, would those still be effective in terms of weight loss?
This is a very good question. And the short answer is I think this has not been addressed rigorously. I think the working bias of those of us in the field is that these are all center effects, both central on weight loss and central on metabolic rate and food intake. And in fact, the Merck program specifically measured brain receptor occupancy as a metric of target engagement. So to my knowledge, there has not been a careful study of a non-brain penetrant compound showing a lack of efficacy for obesity or a lack of causing the heart rate blood pressure effects. So formally, it's an open question, but the bias in the field is that this would be a central effect. I might have mentioned there's a Japanese group that has developed some peripheral agonists, so maybe this can be investigated in the future.
Great. Also in your study, you showed in the BRS3 knockout mice that there was no real effect on baroreflex sensitivity. But in the clinical study, it appears that you get this transient increase in blood pressure without an effect on heart rate. Do you know if there's any evidence that BRS3 agonists affect baroreflex function in addition to blood pressure?
From trying to answer these questions on the baroreceptor reflex sensitivity in the mice, I really gained a healthy appreciation for how hard this is to study in mice. Because, as you know, humans will stay still and listen when you're trying to manipulate blood pressure, heart rate without problems of physical activity, whereas mice, you're doing all this in the free-living telemetered mouse. So the quick answer is, I think within the limits of the tools we have for measuring in the mouse, the baroreceptor reflex is intact. And actually, this has not been formally addressed in people what the drug would do. But I guess the assumption is that it should remain intact in people too. But that's a hypothesis not been tested.
I always like to say at least the mice show up for the studies.
Yeah, but they don't cooperate very well.
That's true. One other thing I wanted to ask you about is in your studies, you used an intrahypothalamic injection for central BRS3 agonism. Do you have any plans to dissect the specific nuclei in this effect, or could there be a role for brainstem receptors in the sympathetic activation produced by BRS3 agonism?
Yes. So what we did with our brain injection in the hypothalamus, yes, the injection was into the hypothalamus, but we used a very large volume. So I really don't want to oversell the selectivity. Clearly, this is a brain injection, but I would also expect that the compound could diffuse or be pushed by the injection to neighboring regions. Unrelated to the current studies, we have generated mice that have a floxed BRS3 gene, and we're now making selective BRS3 knockouts in different regions of the brain and different chemotypes of neurons, but we do not know yet which neurons mediate the heart rate blood pressure effects of BRS3.
Okay, last one from me. Do you know if there's any evidence for changes in expression or activity of the BRS3 receptors in those brain regions, either in obesity or in hypertension, cardiometabolic disease?
When people have looked for changes in BRS3 RNA levels, they haven't been seen, which is actually fairly typical for most G-protein coupled receptors. Typically, the receptor levels don't change a lot, particularly the RNA. whereas it's the ligand levels that may change more. Now, since we don't know the ligand for BRS3, we can't address what the ligand is doing. Unfortunately, there are no well-validated antibodies to BRS3, although there are some reports in the literature. When we've tried to work with antibodies, we've not been able to convince ourselves that the antibodies are sufficiently good to allow us to really look at protein levels of the receptor. We have generated mice that now have reporters for where BRS3 is expressed, so maybe we could look at it in those mice. There's no obvious regulation that's been described, but the absence of evidence is not the evidence of absence for the regulation.
I'd like to bring back the point about the potential central neural pathways that may be involved, especially in the differential effects, the lower resting heart rate and then the exaggerated increases in pressure and heart rate during the exercise activity measures. And to even more importantly bring this back to how the normal physiology versus pathologic situations may work, situations like diabetes or diet-induced obesity or something like that.
So that's an interesting question. We really don't know if this is involved in altered cardiovascular regulation in garden variety obesity or in diabetes. Again, it just we really had the tools to address that question. My working hypothesis is that in the knockout mice, which are now missing the receptor all throughout development, that you have a reduced sympathetic tone reflected in the reduced heart rate, but you have compensatory increases in blood pressure so that you don't have a reduced blood pressure. However, for whatever reason during development, you've maintained the ability to increase your blood pressure with activity or a sympathetic tone, and therefore you can overshoot the blood pressure when you have a stressor on the mouse. What that addresses is that we believe that there's probably some adaptation that occurred with germline loss of this receptor that could be addressed by knockout of the receptor in adult mice to see if there's a stronger phenotype, maybe with the absence of compensation.
Thank you both for participating in this podcast, highlighting the new findings in neural regulation of blood pressure using a combination approach of genetic and pharmacologic methods to implicate the BRS3 receptor in neural control of the circulation and possibly involvement in the development of obesity and hypertension.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.